Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Toward heaven and honor the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord this evening. Give him praise. Magnify him. Father, we love you. We honor you. We give you glory. You said you've not called the seed of Jacob to seek you in vain. Every time we have the privilege of gathering at your feet, precious Father, it is because you, on account of your benevolence, want to issue out yourself and all that you have to offer yet again. And so we are persuaded that even this evening, we will receive, we will drink, we will eat, and we'll be satisfied. Thank you, Abba Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Wow. What a weekend we had. Glory to Jesus. Inside me, Yahweh is inside me.
Inside me,
Yahweh is inside me. Yahweh is inside me. Inside me. Yahweh is inside me. And ways to glorify God. One of the ways to glorify God is to extol his name and speak of his wondrous works. Another way to glorify God is to manifest him. Manifest him. That's why we sang this song. Many of you will rise to begin to manifest God in ever increasing brilliance. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You may be seated. I want to officially thank the partners. There are those who are partnering in the place of prayer. Can you work on this sound? There are those partnering in the place of prayer. There are those partnering financially. They just keep giving. And we are doing what we are doing from the place of rest. You don't have to call anybody. You don't have to beg anybody. God is just doing what he's doing. And there are those who partner physically. They go to the field of missions and they labor there. The Lord will reward everyone in the name of Jesus. None of your partnership will be lost, and no one will lose out on his reward. In Jesus' precious name. Before I open the word tonight, quickly I want to announce the blessings are many. Two of our very special brethren are about to tie the knots. It's an honorable thing. Clap hands for Jesus. Clap hands for Jesus. I'm still trying to see how we do it, because we'll be in the field of missions on Saturday. But our brother, laboring fervently in the media, Brother Levi, my God. You can still see the brother in action. Where's your damsel? Come up.
Inside me, Yahweh is inside me.
Secondly, our dear sister, the minstrel and the psalmist, Sister Carissa Eria, give the Lord a shout. Come up here, sister.
Inside me,
Yahweh is inside me. Lord, a shout! This is how it should be done, with honor and in righteousness. These ones have brought glory to their parents, and they've set a good example. Don't run with a woman. No matter what you are feeling, bring yourself under subjection and follow the right protocol. Are we together? We are in the last days. Make sure it is done correctly, and the glory of God will rest. Let me allow this guy to say something 1 minute, and then I'll allow Brother Caleb. This is a man of God. The utterance on this man is heavy. You will say something. Give him the mic. 1 minute.
Good evening, church. I have a lot of story to tell, but I'll summarize it in less than 1 minute. And it's a journey of 3 years, and we had a lot of struggle waiting for parents' approval, but it looks as if it will never come to pass. But I didn't know how God showed me favor. Thank God.
Glory to God.
Success today.
Thank God. My own in-laws that gave me approval. I don't know how to pray that kind of prayer. But we thank God that you prevailed. And I know you didn't touch her. It fears the Lord. It fears the Lord. Let's have Brother Caleb.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This has been a journey of faith. And every step of the way, God has shown himself strong. We have learned, especially in the past, since the beginning of this year, dimensions of faith that we never journeyed. We had stepped into certain corridors. And I am just grateful for God's faithfulness. I'm grateful for the wonderful gift in Carissa that he has given me. And I'm grateful for the family that God is building with us. Thank you so much, Pastor, for this privilege. Thank you, sir.
Glory to God. Give the Lord a big hand. Brother Levites will be on the 28th. That's next week Saturday, right? This week Saturday. Glory to God. Where's the venue?
National Hospital, sir.
It's at the National Hospital Chapel, and so we'll be there to celebrate with him. You want to make out time to celebrate this man. He's labored with us He's been on the camera, editing, all kinds of things. He's involved. And so at the end of the service, if you are led, don't just pray for him. Yes, pray for him, but ask for his account details and support him. These ones, they labor in the kingdom. They are worthy to be honored. And our dear sister, Sister Carissa, my goodness, she ushers us into God's presence. Yours is on the 18th of February in the city of Benin, right?
Yes, sir.
In the city of Benin. And so we'll be in Benin on the 18th to celebrate with them. So encourage them, pray for them, and support them financially. Let's pray for them for the next 1 minute. Just stretch your hands towards them and bless them. It's a he who finds a wife, finds a good thing, and obtains favor from the Lord. Decree that theirs will be a portion of ever increasing favor. Go ahead. Go ahead and make that declaration. Pray for them. He said, one will chase 1,000, but two will put 10,000 to flight. Decree that these ones will accelerate and there will be a geometric increase in everything they do in the positive. Make declarations. Don't talk under your breath. This is the time to prophesy. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for you will keep these ones. You will build through these ones. And through these ones, your kingdom will be established. We honor you. We magnify your name. In Jesus' precious name. And so, Father, we bless them with your presence. We bless them with wisdom. We bless them with understanding. And we bless them with resources. These ones will become systems and portals through which the kingdom of the heavens will be made manifest in the earth. Their seeds will be mighty upon the earth, and their generations shall be blessed. Through these ones, many agenda of God will find expression, and it will be said concerning them, a joy of many generations. Thank you, Father, because your hand is upon them, and it will be from glory to glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Give the Lord a big hand. Help your damn selves as you gorgeously step back to your seat. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. I want to finish today by 8. My burden this night is just to speak a word over someone. I have a burden to make a declaration. Because the Lord began to witness to my spirit that it's time for the great shift. It's time for the great shift. The things you've seen before, they are a joke compared to where God is taking you. And so I'm not coming tonight to preach necessarily. I'm coming tonight just to reveal to you the sensitive nature of the times and the seasons. So as your heart opens, you'll be ready to receive. Because if I make certain declarations and you don't know where we are, you may be thinking about yourself. The reason for the shift is because of God's agenda and it's because of the globe. And so what God wants to bring us into is bigger than you and your family put together. It has to include God's agenda and the globe at large. And so it is time for the great shift. It doesn't matter the corridor you find yourself. You may be in the army. You may be in business. You may be in ministry. This is the time for that expansion. The shift is upon us. And every one of you hearing me, you are a candidate for that shift. In the name of Jesus Christ. Sit down for a moment. I'll read a few scriptures to prepare us strategically before I make those declarations. Next week, Sunday, will be our first Thanksgiving service. And so come with your dancing shoes. This place will explode. This place, we will praise, we will dance, we will sing, we will jump until Jericho goes down. Hallelujah. Let's read from Matthew 24. It will be a long reading from verse 1 to verse 14. Sometime in the month of March, I will do a teaching on eschatology, the last days. Because we need to have that understanding. If you know, if you have understanding on the doctrine of the last days, it will revamp your existence. It will alter your perspective, change your paradigm, and bring you to a new level of urgency in your living on the face of the earth. And so we'll look at that in details. But this evening, because of the things I want to share, I'll just read one of the eschatological scriptures and pull out certain points to substantiate some of the emphasis I'll be bringing to us tonight. And so the Bible said, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. They were admiring the architecture, the excellence and the engineering framework of the temple. And Jesus took advantage of their carnality to explain to them matters that sustain immortal implication, and also to give them a reading into the times that they were in. Because the things you admire is a function of your understanding. If your understanding is recalibrated, some of the things you clamor after, will no longer hold so much value to you. And so these were people that were carried away by the architectural intelligence and prowess that was put together in modeling a temple, a building that was created by the hands of men. And Jesus looked at them and wondered why they had no understanding into the cycles of eternity. Because an evolution was taking place from the realms yonder and breaking into the earth realm. Now, here were people who were walking with the master, having no glimpse into the things that were breaking from the spirit realm. Until date, there are people like that who don't know what is happening, and because they don't know what is happening, they don't know what to prioritize. And so this scripture is evergreen until the return of the master. And so when they admired the temple, Jesus began to speak, and he said unto them, he said, see ye not all these things? He said, verily I say unto you, not one stone here will be left on another. He said, they shall all be thrown down. The point Jesus was making was simple. The times that we are coming in, anything that has its foundation in the physical will be thrown down. And so this was not a time to build your life on peripheral things. This is a time to take root in the spirit so as to give you eternal relevance regardless of the tides that flow through the earth realm. Unfortunately, even those that lived with the master didn't know how to take root in the spirit. And so Jesus began to read the times. You know, there are many indicators that give you understanding of prophetic operations and prophetic cycles. There are many things that give you access point into where you are. If you want to study and understand where you are, you don't need a compass. You need a prophetic lens. And so what Jesus was doing was to give them an advantage through prophetic sight to understand the cycles of the earth and where they were at the time. And so Jesus began to read out some signs that they were not seeing. They were seeing buildings. Why? The master, who had spiritual understanding, was seeing signs. You know, when the children of Israel cried, they said, we see not our signs. So a generation that is spiritually responsible is a generation that understands the prophetic signs. They know how to read them, and on the strength of their discerning of the times and seasons, they know what to do. No matter what you are doing, you will be wrong, except as you understand times and seasons. And so Jesus began to read the times to them. And here is what Jesus said. He said, as he sat down upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately. Because when he made mention of those things, he stopped. Because he needed to know if they were interested. There are things you cannot teach until people are interested. Because they are heavy matters. If you start explaining them, it won't mean much to them. So leave them until they show interest. And so the Bible said they came to him privately and said, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? So he was able to migrate them and to shift their perspective from mundane things to eternal things. Now they are interested to find out what will happen when the end comes. When we are expected and demanded to come out of this physical framework and step into the realms eternal. What are the signs we should see in order to know how we need to order our lives? And so Jesus began to read the signs. And he said to them from verse 4, he said, take heed that no man deceive you. And so the first thing that you will notice is the great deception. And so in the last days, one of the assets a believer must have is discernment. If all you have is money in an account and cars that you drive, you are very poor. Because one of the things that will invade the earth realm in the last days are great deceptions. And these deceptions don't just float in the wind. The Bible said there will be captains that will herald this deception. For he said, many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. So many people will be deceived. And so if you are walking on the face of the earth in the last day, what you should try to do is not to fall into the quadrant of the many that will be deceived. That means only few will have the rich asset of discernment in the last day. There will be many who possess cars and lands, but there will be few that have discernment. And so he said, many will be deceived. Now, one of the things you need to focus on as you grow as a Christian is how to master the life that is on your inside. Mastery of the life within is the power of the ages to come. If you don't know how to interact with that life, master its operation, and on the strength of the discernment you build from that life, begin to order your step, you are a victim waiting to happen. And so Jesus told us the first sign of the last day is the great deception. Number two, he said, and there you shall hear of wars and rumors of war. It says, see that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet come. And so the second sign you will notice in the last day is anxiety and trouble, fear of the unknown. And the reason people will be troubled and anxious is because they lack spiritual understanding. The war is not the sign. It is the trouble and the trauma that the sons of men will start walking in that will show you. Now, when the medical guys went out, they mentioned it, but you will just know that one of the greatest things you will meet is high blood pressure. People are just afraid. They are afraid. Terror is everywhere. The terror can manifest in form of war, but the fear is the sign that we are in the last day. That means people no longer have spiritual understanding. When people begin to tap into spiritual understanding, nothing can move them. They become like Mount Zion. Like the psalmist said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. And so when you find a generation where people start living in fear and terror, which is born out of their lack of spiritual knowledge, you know that you are at the end times. Today, people brag with secular knowledge. I have a master's degree in anatomy. I have a doctorate degree in cyber technology. And then you ask him, what do you know about the spirit life? He doesn't even know the voice of God. But when he stands to speak, he brings and churns out heaps and heaps of paper that he calls certificates. And he wants to do business when spirits are involved. Now, there's nothing wrong in schooling. At least some of you who are here, you know we've schooled. We've schooled, but we understand Keda in spiritual realities. That secular knowledge is nothing compared to spiritual knowledge. Secular knowledge can put food on your table when there is no crisis. But spiritual knowledge can take you even beyond time. When time is accomplished, you will still stand. And so Jesus was revealing to us that in the last days, men will not have spiritual understanding. And because they will not have spiritual understanding, every physical crisis that happens will set them off. And they will begin to live in fear and in anxiety. And then he went to the third part and he read for us the third sign. He said, for nations shall rise against nations, kingdom against kingdoms, and there shall be famine and pestilence and earthquakes and in diverse places. And he said, this is the beginning of sorrows. What a prophecy. This is the beginning of sorrows. Now, the reason I'm teaching this is to help us understand spiritual arsenals that will give us an advantage in the crisis that is to come. Because if you don't know these things, you will build your confidence on the mundane. But these things Jesus is listing, they will sweep off every investment you have in the natural. Imagine if you were in Ukraine and you invested. Now, let me give a balance before I say what I want to say. Invest in real estate if you have money. Invest in gold if you have money. Anything that is not affected by inflation or deflation, invest in it. There's no kind of inflation that will affect land. Inflation does not affect gold. And also, take advantage of innovations, new things that are happening. Understand it. Don't cross your hand and say, well, I don't know what is going on. You'll be left behind. You will become obsolete. Somebody came to me the other day and was talking to me about cryptocurrency to invest in it. I told him, I am open to invest in it. But there are two things. Number one, there's a lot of fraud in crypto. And the way crypto works is, meet those who are influential. Get them to invest and get them to publicize it so that the gullible people will rush into it. When they now rush into it and the coin appreciates, the whales will cash out. I say, I'm a man of God. My conscience can't bear it. So I cannot get people to invest in something and then when the money grows, me, I now cash out and leave my followers that God allowed influence to get them follow me to become victims. That will make me a wolf in sheep clothing. And so I said, before we talk about investment and publicity, what are the structures around it? Because before I invest, I need to know who is the developer. And if I know the developer, we must have a structure where the whales cannot pull out. If the whales can't pull out, then we know that this coin will last. That time, we can now begin to talk investment. Because when I finish from earth, I will appear in heaven. And God will ask me, what did you do with the influence I gave you? I will now say I used it to increase my cryptocurrency value. You will go to hell. Now, why did I say that? I'm not against it. I invest in it, but I will never front it and I will not preach it until I meet a developer who has a structure where whales can pull out. That time, I know anybody who is investing will gain so that we who are the first who enter will not pull out and our disciples that we lured in will not suffer. That's fraud. Are we together? So, invest in innovations. And as I talk to you here, I will tell you one area that is very effective in the last days called cybersecurity. And you will know. In the days to come, if you don't invest in cybersecurity, if you don't invest in agriculture, you'll be in trouble. Because you will see some of the things Jesus listed, even famine is involved. These are the things that help you know how to live your life. So that you will be strategically positioned in the last days. And so the point I'm making is, number one, there will be what? There will be great deception. So you need discernment. Number two, there will be what? Wars and rumors of war. So you need to have spiritual understanding so that fear will not kill you. Because many will be in trouble and many will be fearful. And the reason they will live like that is because they are reading the news in the natural, not the news in the spirit. If all you hear is CNN and BBC, you will die of fear. But in addition to CNN and BBC, you need to hear breaking news from heaven. Because it's the breaking news from heaven that will keep you at peace, even in the midst of trouble. And so when you find the people who don't have access to spiritual knowledge, they will become victims. Because most of the decisions they will take will be born out of anxiety. And many times when you take decisions out of anxiety, you'll be wrong. Because the necessary intelligence required to fortify that decision will not be there. Anxiety makes you unstable. Number three, Jesus said, there will be famine. And that means food will be attacked. And because food will be attacked, you need to become very intelligent around investment. That's why I spoke about investment. You need to know what to do. In fact, we need to begin to trust God as we fast and pray. That people should no longer just pray for 10 hours. While they are praying for 10 hours, they need innovative minds. We live in Africa where food is surplus. The whole world is looking into Africa. Because Africa now is like raw material. And we can't process nothing. When the famine comes, where are the technocrats? When famine was to come in Egypt, Joseph rose up and began to give them strategy of processing and preservation. And so this is a time where somebody needs to know what to do to garri. That you can store garri for 7 years. And you know what to do to garri to increase its content. So when you take 5 spoons of garri, it can satisfy you. Because food will become a weapon. The locusts will come and eat the food. And the point will come when they will tell you, before you eat, you will take a mark. You may be able to stand and say, I will die of hunger. But when you have a son, like I do, and you don't know what to do, you won't be able to see that boy die. And so in order for you not to come into a tight place where you are forced to make a decision that you won't naturally consent to, you need to develop strategies. And so people must become master investors, and we must also develop intelligence around processing. This is not the time to waste. You come to certain families, bread is open there, beans is open there, water is running. That's an anti-spirit. It's against the age. This is not a time to waste. This is a time to preserve and also to go beyond preserving to processing. People must begin to think on how to convert things and make them more effective. That's the age that we are in. But if you don't know this, you know, many nations of the world are coming to Africa. They are buying seedlings from us. They are developing technology on how to hybridize it and give it more value so that it can last with them. And so they can use it, because the time will come when if the attack comes, you will not have food to eat. And instead of the Africans to think intelligently on how to interact with food, all we are interested in is immediate gratification. Somebody will load 20 trucks of yam from Zakibian straight to Port Harcourt and sell all. And he has been farming yam for 20 years. He knows nothing about yam. All he does is to farm it and sell it and collect more money and put it in the pocket, and God has blessed him. Because we don't know we are in the last days. Our approach to life is wrong. And so when Jesus was teaching, he was equipping us against the times that we are in. Number four, Jesus said that there will be betrayers. He said, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. So the fourth sign Jesus gave was betrayers. And so when your friend betray you, don't be offended. Build discernment to get trusted people. It will happen and it will keep happening. You'll kill yourself being offended. Can you imagine this sister that I've been with for 10 years? Well, you were with her for 10 years, but you didn't add discernment. That's why we create structures now. Even in church, there are structures. Don't come and wake up and say, that person on the media knows what he's doing. You will be shocked. The next time he will kneel down crying, he has sold your black magic camera because there's no food in the house. And you have a crusade that night. The agenda of God will be destroyed because you were naive and gullible. There should be accountability. There should be structure around everything you do. Don't wake up and say, this man is a prophet, living with the offering. One day he'll be walking and his socks will shift. And then the only dollars that was given as offering will fall. You will now notice how careless you have been with God's resources. Thank God we trust ourselves, but we will add structure to what we are doing. Even me, that is the set man, I'm not the one who makes withdrawals from the ministry funds. It's somebody else that makes withdrawals. I authorize somebody else makes withdrawals. So one day, I will not get tired and say, this thing is not working. And the next time you will see me talking, I'll be talking from London. And say, God has instructed me to relocate to London. Relocate to London with your seed? We are in the last days. Fathers will betray children. Children will betray fathers. Spouses will betray themselves. And so if you want to work effectively, build structure into every relationship, including family relationship. Consciously know how to relate with your wife so as to manage her emotion, because there will be many whispering spirits that can creep into systems that are not structured and create doubt in the hearts of men. And those doubts will lead to betrayal. You are a pastor, you say, no, here we are on fire. We are holy men. And five sisters come to your office. Your secretary is a sister. She's working with you around 1 a.m. And then your wife traveled. Somebody who is now angry with you because you promised him something you didn't give him will now call you and say, well, I don't know how they work here, but I saw Sister A coming out of your husband's office around 1 a.m. 1 a.m.? She will now call somebody else. Where is this sister? They'll say it's with God's servant. You won't know where your divorce will originate from. But it originated from lack of wisdom and lack of structure. And so when Jesus is telling us these things, is to help us think deeply. You went and threw your child in a school and said, this is a Christian school. And there's no strategy around monitoring how they are treated. Somebody came to pick his child from school. He knows this boy is a tyrant at home. You know this kind of children that they are pulling things every second. As he's holding one, you collect it, he's carrying another one. But every time he goes to carry this boy from school, the boy is sleeping. What are they telling this boy that makes him so calm? Is this not the same boy that wakes up with action at home till night? How come when he goes to school, he's so calm? Only to discover later that they add some sedatives to their food. So because the nannies can't handle them, they just add some things. So when they eat, they sleep. And so they are compromising your child's mental faculty from infancy. And you are working. You say, Kai, oh, thank God for this school. If you don't have discernment, if you don't have structure, you will be a victim of betrayers. And the idea of the betrayer is to wreck what God has committed to your hands. When structures are put in place, it negates betrayer. That's why when Jesus was ascending, he didn't give us men, he gave us offices. To some, he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So that when Paul go, another apostle will rise. Because if he gave us Paul and Peter, Christianity would have ended. But because he gave offices, if one steps out, another steps in. Even God needed structure. And finally, he said, many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And he said, because iniquity shall abound, he said, the love of many shall wax cold. And so in the last days, people will become godless. And the reason is simple. Iniquity shall what? Abound. That's why everywhere you turn now, you see a naked person. They are trying to access your soul structure. They are trying to pierce into your soul and to darken your soul. So when iniquity dominates you, whether you like it or not, you will become an agent of the devil even before you know. There are many Christians today that are either masturbating, or they are into pornography, or they are into drunkenness. They didn't know how their soul was remodified like that. They are not conscious of the last day. They didn't know that music is not about entertainment. Music is actually a gateway to the soul. And so what they do is to look for those who have access to the realm of sound and compromise them so that they can create vibrations that can alter the soul structure in a negative direction. And so you hear music, suddenly you become a drunk. You hear music, you become gay. You didn't know that the music was a product of sequences of vibrations formed with intelligence to alter your soul structure. Everything is created to make you become a slave of iniquity. And so a point comes, the things you want to do, you can't do. And you can no longer serve God. Now, all of these were the factors Jesus pointed out to predominate the last day and to make those who we end with God feel. And so one of the burdens of a church that is alive is to equip people to survive the tyranny, the deception, and the treachery of the last day. Which ranges from what? Deception into what? Famine into what? Wars and terror into what? Betrayers and deception into iniquity. If you don't build a structure that survives these five things, your eternity has already been compromised. And so we are going to be doing teachings to fortify the believer to be able to survive these things. Deception, terror, betrayers, famine, and iniquity. This is why we come to church. Church is the citadel of defense. It's a spiritual defense tower that God set in motion to create safety and security for his children so they walk into the fullness of their ordination and heritage in God as touching the last day. This is not a place just to come and celebrate. Yes, we celebrate, but over and above it, we come here to be fortified. So as we go into the world, we have an advantage that makes us become like Mount Zion that cannot be moved. And so tonight, I want to touch two of those advantages that we have as believers who we make strategic progress in the last days. The first are weapons for navigation. And the second is spiritual intelligence. These are the two things I want to talk about quickly now. And so I will begin with weapons for the last days. Then I will delve into spiritual intelligence. Spiritual intelligence. See, you need to be intelligent spiritually in the last days. And I will teach you the buttons to press in the spirit in order to enhance your spiritual intelligence quotient. Because if your spiritual intelligence quotient is not enhanced, you say, I've seen an abomination on the face of the earth. You say, princes are trekking while beggars are riding on horses. That's the abomination of the last day. That people are taken out of their inheritance, and even though they labor, they will not have it. That's why I said the labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them, because they know not how to enter the city. And so every believer must be fortified with spiritual intelligence. But before we delve into spiritual intelligence, which is a bit more complex, let me show you five weapons that you must carry in your quiver for the last day. How many of you have been coming for the Tuesday Bible studies? Oh my God. If you have not been coming, you have missed a great deal. The things the Holy Ghost is showing us are, they are heavy. They are heavy. Now when we come, we pray to be able to teach. Maybe God is shifting the encounters to Tuesday. They've been heavy. May God give you understanding. So five weapons for impactful living in the last days. Number one is the force of prayer. I always begin with prayer because prayer is the foundation of spirit life. Eternal life, scriptures, fellowship will all be useless if you don't pray. Because it's in prayer that you actually engage the spirit that furnish these things into your spirit. If you are not engaging God vitally, everything God puts in you will become obsolete. You will not even know how to operate it. Every machine requires a manual to educate you on how to operate it. This is why many are sick, many are helpless, whereas everything they need for a glorious life is already in them. But they are not engaging God, so they don't know how to access those things. And so every spiritual truth I teach personally, I begin from the corridor of prayer. And so prayer is a weapon for the last days. A believer who is not praying is a victim. Please make no mistakes about it. The reason you are not yet victimized is probably because your schedule has not appeared on demonic calendars. The Bible said the devil is prowling like a roaring lion, seeking whom he will devour. So he's checking. He's not omniscient and he's not omnipresent. So he's not everywhere at the same time. The reason he has not come to you is because you are not yet on his schedule. The Bible spoke of an evil day. There's an evil day for everybody. But like I taught you here, if you are effectively fortified, your evil day becomes your day of manifestation. Because everything we call a testimony was actually designed to kill us. The reason it became a testimony is because we counteracted the forces of darkness. And one of the things that gives you a strategic advantage to subdue and to overcome the powers of the enemy is to be fortified with prayer. And this kind of prayer is not just, Father, I need bread. No, this is actually a prayer life. It's not a prayer with prayer points. And it's not a prayer to meet the target of time. Is a prayer weaved into your essence. In Luke 18 verse 1, he said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Three things of vital note. Number one, you ought to. That means it's a requirement. Number two is always. And number three is fainting. If you don't pray, you faint. And so the reason many are fainting is because prayer is not part of their lives. Yes, when they have a problem, they can engage God and pray. That's good. But that's not good enough. When there is a need, they can go to the prayer altar. That's good, but that's not good enough. A man who understands that he's in the last days, eats prayer, talks prayer, true prayer, dreams prayer. In fact, every second of the day, he is vitally connected to God because that is where his strength is. I told you I was going to do the doctrine of power with you. When you begin to study power, there are many words for power. You have iskus, you have kratos, you have dunamis, you have exousia, you have anagazo, you have so many words. You have megatos, you have gagatos. There are so many words for power. But vitally speaking, there are four kinds of power you live with. And there's another power you use to deploy people into God's kingdom. The power you use to deploy people into God's kingdom is called anakazo. There is a technology for building anakazo. The technology for building anakazo is to come into the experience of what you say. If you have not experienced what you say, you can't convict people. You may impress people, they may clap, but conviction will never be formed. This is why God carries us into realms in the spirit. So when we come out, we become custodians of the things we talk about. He said the things that we were from the beginning, which we heard, which we looked upon, and our hands handled of the word of life. He said that is what we've come to commit to you. He said for our fellowship is with the Father. So they have heard it and they have handled it. Now that they've handled it, they have the power to bring others into it. So anakazo is built from experience. However, there are other kinds of power you need to live your life for and to live your life with. Dunamis and kratos are two of such powers. Dunamis is a potential power that was credited into your spirit when you received the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it says, not many days from now, you shall receive the Holy Ghost and power, and you shall be witnesses unto me. The word power there is the word dunamis. But there is a way dunamis works. Dunamis has to become a dynamic power. The light you see here does not exist actually. This light is a product of what the generator is doing. Now, the power was in the generator, but the generator had to be started for the light to appear. And so everybody who carries God carries power on his inside. But it will take engagement or prayer for that power to be activated. That's why I said God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think, according to the power that is at work on your inside. And so when a man begins to build a life of prayer, what happens to him is that he migrates from dunamis into kratos. That man is a man who can generate power and use power any day, anytime. See the way dunamis works. If I'm coming for a meeting, for example, if I pray for 10 hours, I would have prayed through. Because I have prayed through, if I see deafness, I can command it to open. Because I have prayed through, if I'm talking, people will fall down. What have I done? I have engaged dunamis temporarily. And so there is a prevailing prayer where you pray through and mobilize dunamis. But if you want dunamis to become a natural operation in your life, you must pray consistently. Praying consistently is different from praying through. So the kind of prayer we are talking about for the last day is not to pray through. If my son is sick, I can pray through and address that sickness. If there is a challenge with my business, I can pray through and address that business. But if I am always waiting to correct things, I will spend my whole life correcting what the devil is destroying. And so the best way to live life, instead of correcting, is to live in a realm where they don't happen. And so a man who prays through corrects the problem. But a man who lives praying stops the problem from happening. So I don't waste my time correcting things. Things don't go wrong around my ecosystem. That's what prayer life does in the last day. And this is why prayer becomes a weapon. There is somebody who is about to be attacked by demons. He prays through and addresses it. There is somebody who is about to be attacked with sickness. He prays through and addresses it. But there is somebody else that demons tell themselves, don't go there. If you go there, you'll be in trouble. Because of what he carries, even when he's unconscious, power is moving. Did you not read about Jesus? When the woman with the issue of blood came, Jesus was not aware, but he is a man of prayer. And so when the woman touched him, virtue flowed out of him. That was when Jesus discovered that virtue had left him, and he turned and said, who touched me? Jesus was not aware that the woman was coming, but there was enough. There was enough to flow out. And so every time you can be sleeping, power will be moving. Power don't only move when you say in the name of Jesus. If you start living a life of prayer, you become the believer Jesus spoke about in John 7:38. He said, out of their bellies shall flow rivers of living waters. So
power begins to issue out of you. And so a man who wants to have strategic advantage in the last day must give himself to prayer and pray without ceasing. This is how to survive in the last day. And this thing does not end here, because that power is also a synergistic power. What it means is, when you start praying, you begin to connect with the heavenlies. And so there are many things you are not aware of, but heavenly entourage is working on your account. Did you not read about Daniel? After he fasted and prayed for 21 days, the Bible said Gabriel appeared to him and he said, I was made to fly swiftly, to come and give you skill and understanding. And so the prayer Daniel was praying, even though he was not aware, was mobilizing something in the heavenlies. And so Revelation chapter 5 verse 8, he said the prayers of the saints, they ascend to heaven as orders, and they are stored in golden vials. And so when a man is praying, he's creating a spiritual account in the heavens. That's why things cannot happen to that man. That man may be on his way going to school, and God is telling him, go and invest in gold. Others may have met experts who have read the times for him, but this man, because of his prayer, heaven is addressing matters on his account, because the prayers of the saints, they are as orders, they are stored in golden vials. And so if you want to have an advantage in the last day, prayer is not something you pray because they called for prayer. Prayer is how you breathe. Prayer is how you live. And you will notice that the greatest attack on the believer in the last day is either in the area of purity or intimacy. Because the devil knows, if you build intimacy through prayer, you become like Mount Zion that cannot be moved. And so when church encourages you to pray, it's an advantage. Don't wait to be motivated to pray. If you have the opportunity to pray, embrace it, catch it, and treasure it. Because there are many battles around your destiny that you are not aware of. Did you not read in Psalm 91 from verse 1? It says, him that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He shall say of his God, you are my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I shall trust. He said, you are my shield and my buckler. And he went further to begin to reveal some things to us from verse 7. He said, 1,000 shall fall by your side, 10,000 by your right hand. He shall not come near you. With your eyes you shall see and behold the recompense of the wicked. Why is it so? He said, because you have made God, even the Most High, your habitation. So when you are praying, you are dwelling under the shadows of the Almighty. And he said, because you have done that, no evil shall come near you. And Revelation chapter 6 verse 6, he said, yes, there will be famine, but he said, hot not the oil and the wine. The man that travails in prayer, what he's doing is to stir the wine, to stir the oil. The oil speaks of the overflowing anointing. And because that man has given himself to prayer, there is a royal decree in heaven, touch not that one. That's why I say, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. One of the ways you keep yourself in the last day is through the force of prayer. Prayer is a weapon. It's not just to ask God for things. It's an insurance system in the spirit. When a man begins to pray, he becomes like a naked wire. Touch him at your own risk. Touch him at your peril. And even when he's not aware, there are forces working on his account that even himself doesn't know about. There are many persons you touch, things happen to you, they don't know. You are the one who come back to confess. I heard a testimony somebody shared in Living Faith. The neighbor took his shoe, went and did charm, and brought the shoe. They say, if the day she wears it, that's all. And this lady woke up the next day, not aware of what happened. And she wore the shoe. There's a time, there's a level you build to. God will tell you, don't touch the shoe. But there's another level you get to. God tells you, wear it. By the time you wear it and nothing happens, that one now is the wonder realm of life. They'll now look at you. He's supposed to fall now. The hour that they calibrated from the demonic coven that you are supposed to faint, that's when you are now doing praise and worship. They are now checking from the window for you to shout and say, help me, help me. Then they now hear something that looks like a shout. They are about to open their door. Then you are singing, I have a very big God. who is always by my side. A very big God, oh, by my side, by my side. When you are going to walk, you now say, hey, brother, how are you doing? He will look at you like this. Sometimes when you greet people and they don't answer, there are things that happen that you are not aware of. Hello, how are you doing? You are coming back from work with bread. That's why he said, I and the children that the Lord has given to me, we are for signs and we are for wonders. He said, say unto Zacharias and them that sit with him, you are men wondered at. That's the age that we have come into. But for us to activate those elements, prayer must come to the foundation. And so when a man is praying, he's fortifying himself. When a man is praying, he's mobilizing synergistic support from realms beyond the times.
Out of my belly, the flow rivers, rivers of living water. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Belly, rivers, rivers of living waters, yeah, yeah, yeah. Out of my belly,
Fefe Aragata Zazazina Babreto Sefretina Aragata Zazanina Mandakai Zeno Bratena Liga Pararaka Sonda Nakabayas.
Out of my belly shall flow rivers, rivers of living waters.
Out of my belly, the Sadinaka.
Out of my belly, rivers, rivers of living water.
Hear this. He said, as the wind, he said, the wind bloweth where it listeth. He said, no man can tell from whence it cometh or where it goeth. He said, so are they that are born by the Spirit. I decree over you now, become as the wind. They were setting traps for you. Become as the wind. They prophesied your fall. Become as the wind. Things were not working. Become as the wind.
Rivers, rivers of living waters. Out of my belly shall flow rivers.
The Riga Pano Sabradiga. I'm out of time. I'll just list the four orders. Go and study them. Please sit down. If I push and this thing break, it will take time. The second weapon a believer must take advantage of in the last day is the weapon of service. I will just mention and give a scripture. Mention, give a scripture. I pray the Lord will amplify it in your soul. Listen, service in the last day is not a favor to an organization. It's not a favor to church. It's an insurance system. Even the animal kingdom know better. When you find animals moving in the jungle, they move in packs. Even the lion, as powerful as he is, if it steps out of the pack, it becomes vulnerable. If you are cycled, you are gone. And so when God instituted kingdom service, it is first of all for your preservation and your invincibility. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, it said, God is not unjust to forget your labor of love. There are many things the devil will throw at you in the last day that you don't even have faith to defend. There are many things that will come your way in the last day that you will not have sufficient intelligence to handle. When your deficiencies are manifested, then the justice system of the spirit, which is activated through your service, goes to work. The reason you find many persons who will never be victims or defeated is because God is not unjust to forget their labor of love. You think the soul winning campaign is a waste? You think standing there as an usher while others are sitting and taking note is a waste? No, you don't have spiritual knowledge to assume that. This is why in the kingdom, one of the blessings you have is the opportunity to serve. When a man becomes mature, he fights to serve in the kingdom. Because there are too many advantages allocated to service. Some of the big churches, when I have the opportunity to go minister for, I see strange things. The other day, I went to minister somewhere in Lagos. And somebody came to pick me. Sir, yes sir, please sir. But when I checked his mustache, you know, some of us, the way we were trained, even if the anointing on your head is pouring like a drum, when you see an elderly person, you don't allow him to serve you. And I weighed his mustache. I knew this man would be in his 50s. So I said, sir, don't worry. Let's be companions. We are just moving together, but I will carry my iPad. When I finished and I was about to go, that was when I realized he was one of the very senior, maybe a regional manager, I forgot it now, managers of Zenith Bank. You don't know how people become invincible. They come to church and beg to serve. There's a man of blessed memory, Obon King. Those days in House on the Rock, he had two vessels on the high sea, but he's the head of protocol. They have understanding because they know you cannot pray all your crises away in the last day. Everything is mobilized to fight you. And so anything that constitutes an advantage, you must lay hold on it. And service is one of the things that mobilizes the justice system of the spirit in your favor. That even when you are not speaking and legislating in prayer, the heaven is praying on your behalf. Because there are people the heaven pray on their behalf. These people are those who have labor of love on the altar. And so when they are in trouble, God moves. And when he moves, he is justified to move. Because his love necessitates that he will be unjust if he doesn't respond that way. He said, God will not be unjust to forget your labor of love. Every act of service is an insurance system in the kingdom. And so some of the weapons we wield are the services we have on the altar. You'll find somebody working in an organization. They are attacking everybody, but he knows they can't attack him. It's not just because he prayed. It's because he knows where his sweat goes to. What I'm doing here, I'm doing largely because of the kingdom. And so if anything rises up against me here, the jealousy of God will rise to defend me. It's a system of insurance in the kingdom. And so in the last day, as much as is within your power, you must find a niche of service in the house of God. You can't afford to throw in and out. That's the least blessing you will receive. Number three is the force of sacrifice. Look at what Psalm 20 verse 1 to 3 says. I wish I had time to chisel these things, but we are out of time. Let me read it. It said, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. There is a specific hearing for the day of trouble. May God not hear you in the day of trouble. Because there are certain days of trouble that requires urgency. There are some things you are going through that if things don't turn around in 24 hours, it will never be corrected again. Those are the days where this kind of prayers become very, very important. He said, the name of the God of Jacob defend you. Go further and see what the Bible says. It says, send help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. Why is God particularly sending you help from the sanctuary? It is in verse 3. It's not everybody that God sends help for from the sanctuary. Now read scriptures and quote them. Find their context. He said, he will remember all thy offerings and accept all thy burnt sacrifices. Do you think when God has an agenda, somebody else deny himself food and go to labor, God is not hearing? You now wake up and say, there's no sacrifice. Jesus died for all of us. If Jesus died for all of us, who will go and do the evangelism? Who will set the stage? And you think God will look at that person who negates his comfort and goes out in the cold to set the stage and ignore him? He said, those kinds of people, God sends them help from his sanctuary. We are not the same in the eyes of God. In salvation, we are equal, but in kingdom, we are different. Because in kingdom, God has an agenda. And God can boycott 1 million people to attend to those who are servicing his agenda. Because if those people are not there, his agenda on the earth will be truncated. And so when you find a man of sacrifice, that's a man walking perpetually under the atmosphere of intervention. Make no mistakes about it. Sacrifice is a weapon. And that weapon is most important for the last day. Every time you go out of your way to do something in God's kingdom, it is recorded. In the day of trouble, even if you don't speak, that sacrifice will speak. In Genesis chapter 4 verse 4, the Bible spoke concerning Abel that he gave a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And when Cain slew his brother, Abel no longer had mouth to speak, but he said, the voice of thy brother is crying to me from the ground. So when a man enters the corridor of sacrifice, he becomes immortal. He becomes eternal. Even when he's not around, he still speaks. Weapons of the last days. Don't live this irresponsible Christian life where they do nothing. They are just strolling in and out of church. My God, in this world where you need God to be invincible, you can afford to be irresponsible. That's a deception from the pit of hell. Number 4 is the force of favor. I showed you how favor alters protocols last week. In Esther chapter 5 from verse 1 to 3, the Bible said, after Esther did what she did, she went in to the king, which was against the law. That means favor breaks protocols. If you want protocols to be suspended on your account, what you need is favor. He said it was against the law, notwithstanding, Esther went in. And he said when the king saw her, instead of giving instruction for her to be killed, he stretched his rod and beckoned on her to come. And in verse 3, we saw the most unreasonable thing for any king to do. He said, what do you want? Ask me whatever you want. And he said, even if it is up to half of my kingdom, I will give you. Why did he do that? In verse 2, he said, Esther obtained favor with God. And so favor is a weapon in the last day. Aside the fact that favor commands the allegiance of men, favor also is a protocol breaker. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 36, when Israel was to leave Egypt, it was one thing God gave them. It's called favor. He said, God gave favor to the Israelites, and they spoiled the Egyptian. That's how they carried the wealth of Egypt out of Egypt. Because they went with something called favor. In the last day, you cannot do without favor. And so everything that provokes favor, you must engage it. And I've shown you some. I told you last week that fasting engenders favor. Esther 4:16, she fasted for 3 days and 3 nights. And Israel fasted on her account. Esther 5 verse 2, she obtained favor with the king. I have also shown you that calling upon the name of the Lord engenders favor. I have heard the cry of my people from the earth. Therefore am I come. And when he came, what he gave them was favor. I've shown you honoring men provokes favor. Because men carry many things. Favor is one of it. And he said, when you receive a righteous man, in the name of a righteous man, he didn't say the righteous man will bless you. He said you will receive his reward. His reward is what makes him who he is. And if favor is there, that favor will be granted you. So honor is also a gateway to favor. This generation is a generation that trivializes spiritual things that are an advantage. But it will not be your portion. As you walk out of this hall tonight, favor will rub off on you. I'm now hearing a sound. That means my sermon should stop now. You know, when the spirit begins to move, you have to align. You have to align. I wanted to mention the fifth one, the force of men. Men. If God will bless you, he will bless you with honorable men. What one man can do for you, one man sent to you by God. You will need, oh dear Lord. In 2 Samuel chapter 21 verse 17, David the anointed went to battle. And the Bible said, one of the nephews of Goliath, the giant of Gath that David slew, came after him. So after David killed Goliath, the guy went for revenge mission and took many years to practice. And when the guy showed up, his spear was worth 300 shekels of silver. When he came against David, he would have killed David by one strike. And the Bible said, Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, he rose up and slew the giant. That means even the anointed can be killed if there are no men. So one of the ways the anointing becomes an insurance is to draw men that will create a support structure. And he said when they slew the giant, the men now told David, you will no more go to battle, lest the light of God in Israel be put out. That means David was still the light of God, but the light of God can be slaughtered. And so instead of you going out, we will now go out on your account. Do you know what it means to go out? If you go out, you can be killed. But when you have honorable men, they are willing to die for you. The Bible said David desired to drink water from the well that was in the sepulchre of Rachel, where the garrison of the Philistines was. And they said three men stood up and put their lives to jeopardy just to quench David's thirst. They didn't get water from another place. Is this the water you say you want to drink? If it cost us our blood, we'll bring it to you. And they stood up and they broke. You know what a garrison is? There are over 12 legions in a garrison. And three men rose up. They know it will take bureaucracy to apply for a battalion. And so let's cut off the bottleneck of bureaucracy. Come, let's go. It's an honor to die for this man. And they broke in. One was drawing water. Two were fighting. Only God knows how many those two fought. And while they were fighting, the Bible said they brought the water. So one was bringing the water. One was fighting here. Another was fighting here. And when they brought the water to David, David said, no, this is not water. He said, this is their blood. For they have put their life to jeopardy. And so when God blesses you with men, they give you their blood as an offering. In 1 Chronicles 12:22, he said, daily, men joined themselves to David until his host became like the host of God. A man can be compared to God because of the kind of men that followed him. And you need to read the credentials of this man. The Bible spoke of Adoni the Takumite. It said he was the first among the first three in rank. He took one spear, and brought down a whole legion of an army. And he said, Eleazar, the son of Dodo. There was a time where he took a spear and he slew 800 men until his hands became cleaved to the spear. The man fought until he could no longer open his mouth, but loyalty kept him fighting, because what he was fighting with was no longer strength. It was the power of loyalty. So long as this will bring glory to David, I will keep fighting. And he said, Shammah, the son of Dodo. He said, there was a time the army of Israel fled. One man stood. and say, everybody can run, I will stand. See, what you need is not many men, it's loyal men. Loyal men. Everybody ran away. The man stood his ground. I'm going nowhere. And he fought from morning till evening. And he said, that day, the Lord wrought a great harvest. The glory of God is revealed when loyal men begin to appear. And so in the last day, if God gives you a program, if God gives you a business, if God gives you an agenda, in addition to that business, God will have to give you loyal men. I pray for somebody here tonight, the grace to walk in the company of loyal men. Receive it now. Hey, pray in the Holy Ghost. Parakabateva.
Loyal men. No business will succeed without loyal men. Do you know the only gift God gave to Jesus? Jesus didn't need the gift of the Holy Ghost. He is also a paraclete. Jesus didn't need the gift of righteousness. He is God. Jesus didn't need the gift of power. He is co-equal with the Father. The only gift God gave to Jesus was the gift of men. And when Jesus left this world, all of them died for him. All. Not one denied him. Some were beheaded. Some were cast from the pinnacle of the temple. Some were thrown into boiling oil. They stood their ground. And so when God wants to bless you with any agenda or program or vision in the last day, of necessity, he will bring you into the company of loyal men. I pray for you today. Everything that makes men loyal, that grace that commands it, it rests upon you now. to stand in the place of prayer, the grace to tarry in the place of prayer by the Spirit of God. I decree, let that grace rest now. Please help those God is touching. I release the power in the place of prayer, the capacity to tarry in the place of prayer. Receive that grace now. I curse the spirit of faintness. I decree by the Holy Ghost, let the strength of the ox, the power to stand on the altar, let it rest upon you now. Receive that grace now. Receive that grace now. Receive that grace now. Receive that grace now. The grace that keeps the fire burning. The grace that keeps the incense burning. My God, from today, from your altar, others shall ascend and they shall be stored in fire. Barato beta kapate. Sharks and the tears. Ferrato, Balakia, Tanada. Hey, ya, hey, ya, hey, ya, hey, ya, hey, ya, hey, ya. Hear this. A fire will descend upon some of you now, and that fire will bring you into the economy of favor. Hear this. Favor does not only give you power with men. Favor also give you power with spirits. The Bible said Jacob found favor with God. When a man has favor, it's not just the fact that men are loyal to him. Even spirits become loyal to that man. Right now, by the Spirit, on ground, online, there are some of you that will be capped with the spirit of favor now. And so from the left to the right, from the front to the back, to the media platforms, everyone now that God is baptizing with favor, I release it like a flame. Take that fire. Take that fire. Ushers, help them. Take that fire. Take that fire. The power for favor, the garment of favor, the grace for favor, the spirit of favor, I release it now. Baruate, Batuashka, Batakabash, Bariado, Tatapatia, Banduka, Batakabash, Barora, Satana, Yelete, Apeana, Satuashka, Barakado, Satatabana, Azeyade, Zaruash, Tedaga, Madora, Marevende, Sabrinata, Japarade, Ilanas Caprina, in the name of Jesus. Hear this. Many visions died. Not because the visionaries were not disciplined. Not because the visionaries were not diligent. Not because the visionaries were not focused. Many visions died because one man refused to put a signature. The fire was on the table until the man died. The fire was still unsigned. Many visions died because one person that needed to chip in wars in high places kept quiet. Now I decree the favor that compels men, the favor that rules over the decisions of men, the favor that summons the allegiance of spirits, wherever you are, whatever vision the Lord has given to you, the weight, the scope, and the power of favor you require for that vision, take that favor now. Take that grace now. Take that grace now. Paros, Bayak, Davina Kas, Barakado, Zarakiata, Benak. Even visions that have died, I call them forth now. I resurrect that vision. I resurrect that vision. I put life into those visions by the power of the Holy Ghost. Tatena Paros, Bekadia, Varina, Pantakabos, Baradadade, Dadadagas, Velas, Fredo Sate, Afiria Canatuna, Antaria Paragado, Zacadia, Sevi, Nakaro, Zatatacapina Tala. Mandra Cabate Baratina, Japata Valica Pai. My God, thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Do you know many persons are dislocated from destiny just because of the evil in the hearts of men? Some of you may not understand it. Maybe you need to talk to my brothers who are in the military. They can send somebody to the fiercest part of the battle just because the commander doesn't like him. And many great destinies perish because there's no favor on their lives. I pray especially for those of you in the force, the army, the navy, those of you in the air force, those of you in the police, those of you in the immigration, and every other person here doing anything that is worthwhile. The favor that gives you advantage in life by the Spirit of God, step into that favor now. Step into that favor now. Step into that favor now. Every great destiny by favor is commanded to stand and speak. Is commanded to shine in the name of Jesus. Lift your hands toward heaven. We are out of time. We are out of time. God, we are out of time. Just lift your hands and tell God to give you every strategic advantage you need now to fulfill your destiny. People are not fulfilling their destinies because they are the best. No, they are fulfilling it because of spiritual advantages that they've gleaned. Ask for your advantage now. My God, some of you have the best minds, but that idea, that vision will not be accepted. Ask for help now. There's an open ticket for somebody now who will ask. The Bible spoke of blind Bartimaeus. He was not ashamed. Son of David, have mercy. The gate of mercy is open. The gate of mercy is open now. Malabrate.
That's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. Oh, him in the air. Oh, Pano Gimuma. That's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. Oh, he be the air.
Oh, he be the air. Oh, man, oh, the puma.
That's who you are. That's who you are.
Stretch your hands towards me quickly. You can stop praying now. There's a wind of the Spirit that will blow here now. If you can't be quiet, there's a wind of the Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It's flowing like a river. Some of you will be taken unawares. Ushers, you will help them now. Let me put my hanky on this one quickly. Help them on the gallery so they don't fall. It's becoming heavy. That's who you are. That's who you are.
That's who you are.
It's a move of the Spirit. So many visions are being quickened. So many doors are opening. Parate.
That's who you are. That's who you are.
Those of you by my right, please stretch your hands quickly. Somebody is receiving a scepter. Doors opening. Doors that were shut for decades. That were shut throughout bloodlines. By the Spirit. Now, open.
That's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are.
Some of you, you have been limited by terminal diseases, kidney infections, liver infections, blood conditions. Now they are being uprooted. Infected livers, infected kidneys, infected blood. By the Spirit, now I break the powers of infirmity. Chains of sickness, break now. Everything standing as a limitation to destinies, they roll away now. Who you are,
that's who you are.
Throw him in the air. Please help me place this anchor on them.
Papa, no game, mama. That's who you are.
That's who you are.
That's who you are.
Lift your hands toward heaven. Your life will never be the same again. Everything that was an obstacle was an obstacle until you entered here. As you go out now, you step into the next phase of your life. Some of you, many cycles are open for you at the same time because you have missed many cycles. But by the Spirit of restoration, many cycles, they open now at the same time.
That's who you are.
The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you, lift up his countenance over you, and give you peace. The Lord give you peace. You're going out and coming in is blessed. At least 7 of you will receive unexplainable but undeniable miracles this week. Your mouth will be full of laughter. The things you don't qualify for will happen to you this week. In the name of Jesus. As the Lord visits you, don't be reluctant in testifying. Because in this week, many strange phenomena will take place. Some of you will have encounters with angelic entities. Because the shift has begun. The great shift is upon us. And by the Spirit, I decree you are a part of it. You will not be exonerated. You will not be eluded. So let it be written. So let it be established. In Jesus' name.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejmi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.